In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, March 27, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. A Chinese pastor was sentenced to a year in prison for protesting beatings of fellow church members at the hands of the local police in Pingyang Prefecture. Pastor Wang Yizi has also spoken against the forced removal of crosses and the destruction of some 300 churches in the area. 1,000 supporters gathered at the courthouse to support the brother. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Hebrews 13:4. Insult to injury. The Navy chaplain who was relieved of duties cannot minister to relatives of a fallen comrade. Fox News reports that Chaplain Wes Motter was issued a restraining order to keep him from ministering to any member of his unit. The American Family Association is encouraging you to contact your congressman to intercede for the chaplain. Call 202-224-3121 and tell your congressman that Chaplain Motter should be allowed to minister to members of his own unit. Investigators now claim German Wings Flight 9525 was deliberately flown into the French Alps, killing all 150 persons aboard. The co-pilot allegedly locked the pilot out of the cockpit and, while still conscious, crashed the plane. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Proverbs 25:19. By the sovereign hand of God, several tornadoes destroyed scores of homes and produced a fatality near Tulsa, Oklahoma on Wednesday evening. What does Jesus say to us when people are killed by falling structures? Repent, or you will likewise perish. Luke 13:4 and 5. You've heard the phrase, love wins. Well, light wins over darkness, too. That's the pro-biblical family message that Janet Porter brings in a new documentary just released called Light Wins. Porter told The Worldview that the darkness of homosexuality is spreading fast, but light wins out in the end.
That's one of the distinctives in this film. It's not just gloom and doom, like another email you get in your box telling you how dark it is. We're telling you that there is hope because we look to the light of the world, and that is where we place our hope.
Featuring 100 pro-family experts from around the country, including Dr. James Dobson, Governor Mike Huckabee, and David Barton of Wall Builders, you can order this compelling new documentary before the Supreme Court passes the equivalent of a Roe v. Wade-type decision on the homosexual issue. Get the movie today at the website lightwinsthemovie.com. Boko Haram continues their missionary outreach to northern Nigeria. Reuters reports the Islamic terrorist group kidnapped over 400 children from the town of Damascus for conscription and indoctrination into the madrasa schools. In sharp contrast, the Kingdom of Christ operates quite differently, without coercive external force. Your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power. In holy array, from the womb of the dawn, your youth are to you as the dew. Psalm 110:3. The Middle East is quickly losing its Christian population. Newsweek's cover article this week addresses the mass exodus of Christians from the breadbasket of the early church. Over the last number of decades, the Christian population has dwindled from 20% to an even more vulnerable 5%. David Noor comes from multiple generations of Christian pastors in Egypt. His family immigrated to America, but he still sees viable opportunities for evangelicals to share the Christian message.
A lot of Egyptian Christians have been forced to flee the country, but at the same time, this is also a time of great hope and opportunity for Christians, and especially evangelicals remaining in Egypt. The devil and his false apostles come to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what the jihadis have been doing in Syria and in Iraq. But Christ has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly.
At least 30 million Christians have left Egypt, Iraq, Syria, and Palestine in recent years. When the righteous increase, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan. Saudi Arabia is launching military attacks on Yemen, and Iran is not happy about it. Apparently, the Saudi coalition forces are made up of mainly Sunni Muslims, and their opponents are Shiite. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Meanwhile, the Muslims are reaching deeper into the Western world. A city in West Texas is standing firm in its opposition to the institution of Muslim courts and Sharia law. An imam told local media that they are not planning to, quote, invade the White House or invade Austin, unquote. We would add, for now. Good news, religious freedom gets another reprieve. Indiana became the 20th state to adopt the Religious Freedom Rights Act on Governor Mike Pence's signature yesterday. Huffington Post referred to it as a, quote, anti-gay, unquote, bill because it is intended to protect privately owned businesses and ministries who cannot provide certain services based upon certain religiously held beliefs. A Russian tycoon is proposing a highway from London across Russia, connecting Alaska, Canada, and New York City. The 13,000-mile project would spur international trade and development of remote areas across Russia, America, and Canada. Vladimir Fortov called the project ambitious and expensive, but nothing like what Christ did when he promised, quote, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, unquote. And that's the worldview in 5 minutes on this Friday, March 27th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids in the 21st century in which faith, family, and freedom are being eroded, and where the millennial generation is, by and large, walking away. Church attendance on a regular basis, 18%, down from 55% for the silent generation. Huge concerns. In the news, just a day or two ago, you heard on Worldview in 5 minutes, Bo Bergdahl is charged with desertion and misbehavior before the enemy. But more fundamentally, a bigger concern for those of us who are homeschooling parents is that this young man was homeschooled and attended a Reformed Presbyterian church in Boise, Idaho, at least for a time. And now he's a Muslim convert. At least that's what the news media is telling us. And World Magazine said he was questioning his faith in 2003, according to a recent report from World. Bergdahl, though, is not the only Christian millennial questioning his faith. The question, will the millennials continue in the faith, or will they turn to Islam or atheism, is an important question that we asked in the Gen 2 survey. That's why we did the Gen 2 survey, because these are critical times, highly critical, in which we are seeing the highest percentage of people walking away from faith, and of course family and freedom, into humanism, Islam, and rank humanism, unlike anything we've seen in centuries, friends, perhaps millennia. These are dangerous times, incredibly difficult times, and we want to analyze what is happening with the millennial generation because we are parents, we're concerned, because we're passionately, desperately on our knees before God, pleading for his mercy upon our children's generation. And I hope that you take these things seriously as I do if you are a parent raising millennials in the 21st century. Well, the Gen 2 survey sponsored by Generations found out that 5% of homeschool graduates left the Christian faith entirely, much like Bo Bergdahl did, at least according to reports. So that's 5%. There is a 5%, and 14% of homeschool graduates support same-sex marriage. That means 86% don't, so praise God there's something happening. And the numbers are three times higher for Christian kids raised in public schools. Three times higher. Three times higher. 300% higher for Christian kids attending public schools. My point here is that influences matter. These are the means by which our kids will receive the gospel or will not. And it happens within a discipleship context. Now, God is sovereign over the outcome. But there are means, and the way we raise our kids supply the means. Farmers plant the seeds, God determines the increase. We know that. But without planting the seeds, typically no increase. So these questions are important. Will our kids shack up and fornicate? Will our kids leave the faith? Will they become Muslim? Will they do what Bergdahl did, or at least what he reportedly did per the media? Well, several things have emerged out of the Gentoo survey. You'll find it at our website. Just click on articles, and you'll see a 20-page article in which I put together a in-depth analysis of this very important survey that looked at 10,000 millennial graduates. The first thing we found was that relationships matter a lot. Solid father-teen relationships in the broader population contributed to a 60% improvement on the factor of illicit sexual activity later in life. So if there was solid father-teen relationships, even if they were attending public school, we saw an improvement of 60%, not a lot, but 60% on illicit sexual activity later in life. But with the homeschool population, it was much different. Here the improvement was much larger, 367% improvement on a good, solid father-son relationship or father-daughter relationship in the teenage years. That contributed a 367% improvement on the factor of illicit sexual activity later in life. So good relationships within the homeschool context had a range of improvement six times what you saw in a public school arrangement. That is, relationship in the homeschool was very important. In the public school context, not as important by a factor of 600%. Relationship in the 724 context, where there's less peer context, less peer contact, and more parent contact, yielded a huge influence on that father-child relationship. Also, the homeschool graduates who scored their relationship with fathers during the teenage years highest maintained a 311% higher or better score on illicit sexual activity than the broader population who testified to the same good relationship. In other words, the influence of a good father-child relationship within the homeschool context was 311% better than a good relationship within those who were attending public schools. And given that the homeschool context is closer to a 724 social setting and peer contact is minimized, these numbers are really not all that surprising. Even the bad relationship within the homeschool context wasn't quite as bad as a bad relationship within the public school context. But of course, a good relationship in the public school context, that is, where a public-schooled Christian kid had a good relationship with his father, that produced better results than a homeschool kid with a bad relationship. A good relationship in the public school context produced better results than a bad relationship in the homeschool context. Okay, but here's the second point I want to make before we get to an interview with Scott Brown to talk about relationships and how important relationships are as we disciple, as we walk by the way, as we rise up, as we lie down. Here's the most dramatic chart in the survey with huge ramifications in import. You'll find this again at our website, kevinswanson.com. Just click on articles. We asked the question. We asked them to state whether this was true. My parents' lives and actions make me more likely or less likely to adopt their religious standards and specific beliefs. And this was the most significant when we compared the population of those who completely apostatized, turned atheist or Muslim, versus those who kept the faith. And it turns out the question regarding whether there were good relationships and genuine walking the talk was an incredibly important issue. Now, whether the question uncovered fundamental relationship difficulties or genuine hypocrisy cannot be discerned, obviously. However, it does appear that a parent's walk in accordance with his or her professed beliefs matters greatly in the raising of our kids. Children who perceived their parents' hypocrisy typically walk away from the faith. That is, apostasy refers to the abandonment of the Christian faith and atheism or agnosticism. These apostates were almost 600% more likely to address their parents' hypocrisy than it was true for the rest of the population who kept the faith. Well, these were some of the critical factors in the raising of our kids. Hypocrisy amongst parents, broken relationships between parents and teens, critical, absolutely critical. These are the top issues In the Gen 2 survey, you'll find more information, again, at kevinswanson.com. Just click on articles. We're not saying there's a panacea or a silver bullet, but we are saying there are general principles. Relationships matter. Discipleship matters. The walk along, talk along really matters, especially through the teenage years. And these are the things that affect the probabilities. Well, we're going to go to the phone lines now and talk to Scott Brown about the Father-Son Retreat coming up in September of this year. Scott, welcome back to the Generations broadcast. It's good to have you with us today.
Kevin, thank you so much, and thank you for inviting me to speak with you about such a critical subject.
Right, we're coming together on the Father-Son Retreat coming up here in August, and we invite people to that. For more information on that, check.org. But Scott, yes, you and I are both going to be at the Father-Son Retreat and bringing out messages on the father-son relationship and just how to walk along, how to talk along, and how to disciple your son. That's such a critical, critical topic today, isn't it?
It absolutely is. When you have a whole culture that disconnects fathers and their sons, they walk apart from each other their whole life. They bump into each other at a ball game or something like that. God has a completely different paradigm for fathers and sons. And I'm so grateful that it's so clear in Scripture, and I'm grateful for so many men that are picking it up.
You know, there's a virtual reformation happening across the country right now. Not perfect. You know, people are in the learning process, and there's something of a learning curve. And yet, here's a quote I just picked off the internet from Frederick Douglass. I think my father sent it to me. It's Frederick Douglass, who lived between 1870 and 1895, African-American, I believe. Frederick Douglass said, "It's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men." That's powerful, and it's certainly something that's not happening as much today. In these inner cities, something like 70% of these little boys are born without fathers, and a large percentage of them wind up in the prison systems today. Probably the most basic social problem with the country, Scott, is the lack of father-son relationships. Obviously, that's true in the inner city, but then again, also in the very, very busy life of the average person today, there's much less contact between fathers and sons.
Amen. There really is. And this is why it's so, so wonderful to have the Word of God to help us get our wits about us, because the Bible gives us really all we need. In Scripture, you have a father who loves his son. You have a son who delights to do the will of his father. And we often forget that the foundation of the universe is the relationship of a father and a son. Mm-hmm. A father who delights in his son sends his son into the world on a mission. And it's a relationship of love. And that really is the beginning of so, so much healing in the world, is when you have love between a father and a son. And that's why those statistics that you brought out in the Gen 2 Surveyor, they're just so verified by this whole ethic of love and a father's love for a son.
What do you make of Malachi 4:6? It shocks some people to see this promise of God turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and children to the fathers through the prophetic ministry of John the Baptist and by implication of our Lord Jesus Christ as well. What do you make of that?
Well, it's a description of the power of the gospel. What does a true gospel do in the life of a person? And Malachi points out he just points out one thing there at the end of Malachi, that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, there will be faith on earth. And what will happen? The result of belief in the gospel is that fathers' hearts will be turned to their children, and children's hearts will be turned to their parents. It's a power of the Holy Spirit working in a father. He's changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the most fundamental marks of his being saved is that his heart turns, and then his children's heart turn toward him. It's the way that the love of God works. It invades the heart. It changes one's whole disposition. The whole fabric of everyone's relationships changes. And for some reason, Malachi just chooses this one single fruit of the gospel. Think of all the different fruits and manifestations of the power of the gospel. There's so many of them. We could list, 20 of them right now. But the one that Malachi brings out is just this one, a father's heart turning toward his children.
Well, I think every Christian out there sort of intuitively understands that when Jesus comes and places his love within our hearts, we respond with an agape love for others as well. But sometimes we don't think in terms of, well, we love others and we love those who are closest to us first and foremost because they are closest to us and we live with them. So when you have true spirit-filled transformation happening in the hearts of people in our homes, we're going to see agape love between a father and a son, and a son and a father, and then, of course, that agape love will reveal itself and express itself in obedience to the fifth commandment, because if we love God, we'll keep his commandments, and if we love others, we'll love them in the way of keeping the commandments of God, including treating them with honor. And I think, that should be second nature, it should be intuitive, that when the love of Jesus comes to a home, there's going to be an amazing expression of love between the family members. And it's not natural. Families are known for their disruptions and their divorces and their broken relationships. And this is sort of the way the world works. But within the Christian home, there should be something radically different happening.
Right. And what you see described in Scripture is that there are a number of things that happen. Here's one thing that happens that Moses brings out in Deuteronomy chapter 6. When a person loves God, that's the context in Deuteronomy 6. When a father loves God, what does he do? Well, he does two things. He teaches his children. He has something to say. There's something that bubbles up within his soul, and he wants to teach it to his children. And he walks with them when he sits in the house. He teaches them when he sits in the house, when he walks by the way, when he lies down, and when he rises up. So a manifestation of the love of God in a man's heart is that he teaches and he walks. He walks beside. He wants to do that. It's a mark of a Christian man, and it's a manifestation of a Christian culture when you see men walking with their children. I was just talking to a guy across the country today, a pastor, and he was asking about evangelism. How do you motivate people in your church to evangelism, and what are the most effective programs that I've run across? And I thought, I think the reason people don't evangelize is they don't love that person that doesn't know the Lord. They're too put off by him, and they're too busy, so they don't love them enough to go open up their mouth. If they really loved them, and if they really love God, they would open their mouth. That's what a father does. He loves his children, and he loves God, so he opens his mouth and he walks with them.
Folks, as you listen to the program, you may be thinking, wow, I wish I had a better relationship with my son. Maybe it's not a negative relationship, but maybe it's kind of a null relationship in which you would love to see more connection, more opportunity for engagement. That's the issue we're grappling with today. And we're going to be talking about this at the Father-Son Retreat come August of this year. For more information, again, go to the internet and check out check.org, CHEC.org. That's Christian Home Educators of Colorado, the sponsor for the beautiful Father-Son Retreat up in the Colorado Rockies. We have one of the most spectacular campgrounds that we use. It's fantastic. Unbelievable campground that we use for this Father's Retreat.
And that's an understatement. It's I think it's one of the neatest camp facilities in the United States.
Yeah.
But Kevin, there's so many reasons why fathers should really consider bringing their sons to a father-son retreat like this. Because all of us understand how easy it is to get disconnected, mm-hmm. how easy it is for bitternesses to grow sometimes under the surface, and you don't really understand it's happening. And a father-son retreat can be really helpful. I've taken my son to a lot of father-son retreats. I love them. I highly recommend them. I've done them out here on the East Coast. I've been to a lot of them. I've been to the one in Colorado that you put on. They're so good. And they're it's a vulnerable time. You're sitting there with your son.
Yeah.
And you can't be fake.
Yeah.
Both of you know. Both of you are sitting there, and you know each other's failures on that matter that that man is preaching about. And it's really good for fathers and sons to be on level ground together like that, to be before the Word of God, both of them. And if they're honest, they both know how short they fall. And sometimes you got guys, their hearts are broken because they see maybe what they've wanted to be or haven't been. And God raises up within them new desires. It's really good to be sitting there with your son. It can be a time to reset your relationship, you know, to remember why God put us together. You know, to huddle up.
Yep.
You know, refresh the mission. You know, there's so many good things that can happen at a retreat like this.
We're going to take a quick break, Scott. We're going to be back in just a moment to talk about more on the father-son retreat and father-son relationships. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations. Hang in there.
How will I care for my aging parents?
Isn't there a better way to care for our elderly than these costly facilities?
How can the church serve the elderly today?
Whether it be visiting or serving seniors, caring for elderly parents and relatives, operating home-based elder care in a family setting, or church-based opportunities, Christian Family Elder Care is here to encourage, equip, and enable relationship-centered, biblically honoring elder care. Join us in Denver, March 27th and 28th for the first National Christian Family Elder Care Conference. Our speakers will encourage God's vision for elder care in family and church, equip caregiving families with practical training from veteran caregivers, provide church leaders with vision and resources, and introduce family and church-based alternatives to current unsustainable elder care methods. Register today and find out more at ChristianFamilyElderCare.org.
And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, a dad. Mike Stye today. And Scott Brown, also on the phone line with us. And we're talking about the father-son relationship. And lately, we've been on a biography kick in our home. Last night, my wife and I were taking a look at the Johnny Cash biography we got from Amazon just a day or two ago. And she read a little piece of it to me, and I thought, wow, that's pretty good. He talks about family economies here, Scott. And he's inside me. This is Johnny Cash writing in 1997. Inside me, my boyhood feels so close, but when I look around, it sometimes seems to belong to a vanished world. In the United States of the late 1990s, is it really possible to imagine whole families, boys and girls of 8 to 18, at their parents' sides, in the cotton fields, working through the July heat from dawn to dusk, driving away exhaustion with songs of the spirit? Are there still places where a young boy can leave his house after breakfast with just a fishing pole, and on it goes? You know, that's why the family economics conferences, that's why the father-son retreats, that's why we have lost a world. I'm talking 5,950 years of fathers and sons living together, working together, walking together. It just doesn't happen very much, except that occasionally. A very odd organization called Generations with Vision decides to do a family economics conference or a father-son retreat up in the Rocky Mountains up above Denver, Colorado. This doesn't happen very often, Scott. He's looking at the world and saying, I don't think it's possible. I don't think we'll ever see this ever again. But, Scott, you know, with Christians, they will always have something of the father-son relationship, the walk-along, talk-along family economy that is presented in the book of Proverbs and Deuteronomy 6-7. This isn't, you've experienced it in your life. I've experienced it in my life. And yes, it's been hard. I had to walk out of the corporate world at one point. I'm not telling everybody who's got to do that. I'm not saying that. Don't ever quote me as saying I told everybody to walk away from the corporate world. But when God wants you to do something and it
requires some sacrifice, and you've got to sacrifice materialism for relationship, and the Holy Spirit is on you and saying, it's time, then you've got to pull the trigger. You've got to make it happen. You've got to make the sacrifice. So, Scott, you know what I'm talking about here. It's just, there's a value here that I think we're all going for. I didn't walk away from a six-figure job and take up executive directorship at Christian Home Educators of Colorado 16 years ago because I was into the money. My goal was to bring my son back into my life. And I think a lot of fathers out there understand the importance of this.
Kevin, it might have been 15 or so years ago, there was a work of the Holy Spirit that happened in America. And that's why we're having this conversation right now. God opened up eyes, guys like us, regular guys, pounding away out there. And he showed us what the Bible said about this. And we were brought to our knees. We couldn't believe how far we'd drifted. And we couldn't believe how far our whole culture and our churches had drifted. And now, as imperfect it all has been for us in terms of how perfectly we've executed our duties as fathers,
yeah,
we're surrounded by hundreds and hundreds of men and their sons all over America. That they made the turn. You know, they did their best. They tried to figure out how to make it work. Through things like taking steps in family economics and recovering a paradigm of church life that's relational. I mean, there were a lot of steps in the right direction. You know, sometimes it's three steps forward, two steps back. But here's what's happened. A miracle has happened.
Yeah.
And you have men all over this land who want to walk with their sons and their daughters, and they're trying to figure out how to do it. And it's the most, it's really a powerful thing.
You know, Scott, it involves quality time as well as quantity time, and the quantity time pulls off the quality. I had a friend who had six or seven boys. He might have had nine boys. He had a lot of boys. I lost count.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy would tell me, discipling my sons, it's kind of like duck hunting. You spend 3 hours behind the blind for 10 seconds of action. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You're just sitting in the pickup truck, you're going fishing, you're traveling around doing things, or you're working the fields or doing your family economy, whatever it is, and you spend a lot of time together, and then suddenly he says, Dad, I've always wondered about X or Y or Z. And then you get that opportunity. But it's just I think you need to have something of a 724 experience, obviously not 724, but you need to have an experience throughout the week in order to bring you to that point, that conversation that really counts, that really matters. But it's not as if the rest of life didn't matter. It was still important to be with.
Right. You know, I was at a guy's funeral. One of my dad's buddies in World War II died a little while ago, and I was at the funeral, and one of the grandsons stood up, and he said, you know, Grandpappy was a world maker. Whenever we were with him, it's like we entered into a world, and he tried to create this wonderful world for us. That's what fathers do. That's what the Father in heaven has done. He creates a world. He puts his sons and his daughter in it, and he governs it. He leads it. He leads the whole world in a direction, you know, to a final point of glorification. He guides them. He gives them his law. He walks with them. He never leaves them. He doesn't forsake them. And he creates a world, and that's what God has done. That's what we're supposed to do, too. And I think we were very fortunate to grow up in a season where God was recreating vestiges of that in our society.
Yeah. And it's happening right now. And I hope that a lot of fathers who are listening are going to say, wow, I'd like to learn more about this. I want to know how I can disciple my son in the 21st century with all the temptations and all the challenges and difficulties. We want to do some panels. We're going to have six or seven speakers. It's not just you and me. We have others that are going to join. And we just all get together, all 300, 400 of us get together in one room and we bring out testimonies, we have contests, we have panels, we have lots of activities that fathers and sons can do together. We have some stuff on tracking, some stuff on hunting, some stuff on emergency life-saving stuff, what to do when you get lost in the wilderness. We have all kinds of things as part of this father-son retreat up in the mountains. And I think, but most importantly, it's an opportunity, as you said, as fathers, to really understand more of what the Word of God says to dads. What is God speaking? What is He saying in His Word? And where do we need to come to the Lord Jesus and repent of who we've been, what we are, and begin to walk in the light in this area of being the godly man, being the godly father, and establishing a truly loving relationship with our spouses and with our children.
So these are great times to reconnect.
Yeah,
great
the last two conferences, I have to say, the last two father-son retreats up there in the mountains have constituted a time of great renewal, restoration, and repentance. A lot of tears, a lot of men getting good counsel, and you know, hands on each other, praying over each other. A lot of real good spiritual development happening in that father-son retreat. And I just want to encourage people to be part of that father-son retreat, Scott. And I'm so happy that you're going to be here this year for our father-son retreat up in the mountains.
Yeah, I've seen guys, you know, walk into these kind of retreats, and maybe the son is a little bit sullen, maybe, you know, dark a little bit, and the father's confused. He's been really distracted. And they get reconnected, and some healing starts. And with the undistracted moments, you know, with father and son, they kind of reaffirm their calling. They go back home. They got more hope for the future. They start running the race together, like, you know, more than they were before. These are really helpful times. I just really looking forward to it. I can't wait to do it.
It's the Father-Son Retreat up in the Colorado Mountains this year, friends. Here are the dates. September 3 to 6, 2015. That's September 3 to 6, 2015 at the Crooked Creek Ranch in Fraser, Colorado. Again, one of the most beautiful facilities you're going to find in the Colorado Rockies, a very special four-day retreat, a tremendous opportunity for fathers and sons to build relationship and enjoy Christian fellowship of other men. Again, it's the Father-Son Retreat, September 3 to 6, 2015. And I didn't realize this, but there is a URL for it, ColoradoFatherSon.com. ColoradoFatherSon.com is where you want to go to check out the one and only very special once-in-a-lifetime father-son retreat in the Colorado Rockies. Scott Brown, thanks so much for joining us. We look forward to seeing you up in the Rockies in September.
Thanks, Kevin. I'm going to bring my son. I can't wait to be with you.
And you have been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast, friends. We call it Generations because we're looking for generational reformation, something of a reflection of the Malachi 4:6 principle, where the hearts of the fathers turn to the sons and sons to the fathers, in a multi-generational reformation of faith. May God bring this to us. And don't forget prayer as a very important element in bringing the spirits and engaging this reformation from one generation to the next. This is our heart desire. No greater joy than to see our children walking in the truth. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.